It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Deck maintenance isn't fun. Move the furniture and barbecue, sand and prep, paint, seal, or get a low-maintenance Trex deck. The only color fade you'll have to deal with is watching the sunset. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.
Yablet! Four goals to Yablet.
Oh, Jasperenko, you're guilty!
Justin Madden's got the set, one hand.
To the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
This is your football life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Thank you, Matthew. G'day to you, and g'day to you. Wherever you're listening, and it's right around the globe, the response we're getting to This Is Your Footy Life is just amazing. Today's guest is a star. That's my words, not his, because he has made an indelible impression on the game forever, and it's moved on, but weren't they exciting days? Can you guess who it is? 182 games at the highest level for South Melbourne, Sydney and Carlton. A 1987 Premiership player and a Norm Smith medalist. Ha-ha, so he's elite. Carlton Football Club Hall of Fame. And this will give it away, folks. The most reported player in VFL AFL history, charged 25 times. He is David Rees-Jones. And Rees, lovely to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks very much, Rex. Yeah, I'm a member of the Carlton Hall of Fame and a member of the AFL Hall of Shame, I think. So.
No, you're certainly not, because before we get into the crux of when you were a kid and what made you so good, that was then and this is now. And if they'd have more cameras back then, mate, you and I had been in jail.
Just about, yeah. I think we might have had to change our ways a little bit there.
Has the game moved on for the better with the scrutiny?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think, not that it's a better game. I mean, the game's still the same. You've got to get the ball through the goals more than your opponent. And I think certain things don't change. But certainly... the stuff that was around in the 70s and 80s and the head high stuff was, I'm glad that's out of the game anyway.
The other evening I watched David Attenborough talking about animals of the sea and the land, and the expression was kill or be killed. That's a bit hard for what I'm going to ask you, but was it defend yourself? Or end up down in the VFA? Was that the way it is, that you had to survive and stand up?
Oh, exactly. I think when I first started, I was a 17-year-old skinny kid. I was about 10 and a half stone, ringing wet sort of thing. So, and you're mixing them with the big boys. And, obviously, if they knew you had a temper or whatever you want to call it, then opposition coaches would send blokes out to niggle you and annoy you, and things would explode from there.
As a skinny kid, were you bullied or similar, or did you stand up to the biggest bloke in the pack like we all do? Pick him out, he's always the weakest one, he's always the one with a heart as big as a pea. Did you have any of that through your junior ranks?
Oh, no, not at all. It's funny. I was never, ever in any sort of strife through junior football. So,
don't go telling me you're a choir boy either, will you? You weren't a choir boy.
It wasn't until I got to the VFL, And, that was obviously what was considered a weakness of mine. So opposition coaches would send these spuds out to go and drive me mad, I suppose.
When I was running the boundary for Parkdale in the Federal League, we used to play the Oakley Districts and the Peak Brothers. I think there were 49 Peaks, and gee, they were tough. You played for Oakley Districts in the Federal with Warwick Capper. It was a tough, tough league at all levels.
Yeah, look, it was. I only actually had the 1 year there, but which was my last year. The club I normally played with, Oakley Youth Club, which is now Oakley Dragons. They couldn't field an under 17 team, so I went and played under 18s at Oakley Districts, and from there to South Melbourne.
Were you always what? I don't want to embarrass you or not, but what did you always think? I'm above average, and I want to see how far I can go.
Oh, look, I always had ambitions to play VFL football as it was then. I mean, that was the pinnacle. I was a Richmond supporter as a young kid. I had number four on the back of me Guernsey. And,
well, Royce Hart,
Royce Hart.
And then Jeff Rains later on, yeah.
Yeah, and then, look, it was a great era for Richmond. I know you were part of that.
Yeah.
But it was a magnificent era for the Richmond Football Club. And I actually grew up in a family of six and the other five all barrack for Carlton. So, it was interesting times through the 70s.
Tell us about your journey from the lower grades to South Melbourne. I'm sure they were still at the Lakeside Oval. Tell us about the circumstances, David Rees-Jones, that saw you arrive at the Lakeside Oval, a side and a ground steeped in VFL tradition back then.
Yeah, look, I at the end of, towards the end of 1979, as I said, I had 1 year at the Oakley Districts in their under-18s, and I won the competition medal for that particular year.
Mm.
And I got invited down. Greg Miller had what he called a Kazali squad, which got all the best kids from the four zones that they had. So that was the Euston zone there where I was in Oakley, or Clayton, and that incorporated Noble Park and a few other suburbs out that way, Clayton and so forth. And there was a team from Wagga, there was a team from, I can't remember where the other two, one in the western suburbs and one elsewhere. And we just played the Kazali squad round robin matches against each other. And from there, I think I won the award for the best player on that day. And I was invited down to under-19s training. I think I only trained once or twice with the under-19s, and I was invited to step up and play in a practice match, inter-club practice match at South Melbourne, and did okay in that. And it was history from there, sort of thing.
You're listening to David Rees-Jones on This Is Your Footy Life, brought to you with the kindest regards at Tobin Brothers Funerals, who celebrate lives. And don't get worried, Reece. She's not coming to an end, mate, but I can get you 20% off from James McLeod. But on a serious note, they've been wonderful, Tobin Brothers, because they believe that you shouldn't say it all when you pass. And this was the concept of finding out about you people, and it's great to have you on board, and we appreciate your time. I just need to backtrack a bit. When you went to the Lakeside Oval, and you mentioned the Kazali squad, you would have known how big the name Skilton was, but were you made aware of the former stars, the household names, and the tradition of the South Melbourne Swans? You know, people like Laurie Nash and these type of people.
Yes.
Fred Goldsmith won a Brownlow. Were you made aware as a young person that these are the stars that you want to try and get to their level?
Oh, look, I was a footy sponge back as a kid. I kicked the footy around the backyard at every opportunity. I read books about football. I knew every player's number back then. I loved football, and it was a huge part of my life growing up, sort of thing. So anything that had anything to do with football, I was always interested in, and the history of the game and so forth. And obviously when you get to a VFL club as they were then, you get to meet these people, and you realise, you know, they're no different. They've got two arms and two legs, and they're no different to anyone else.
And as Lee Matthews says, if it bleeds, you can kill it.
That's it.
Which is why he was such a fantastic player. It's a common denominator. It's a bit of mongrel, but off the field, you shake them by the hand, and they're great people after they knock you out. Thanks, Lethal. 1982, did you get wind earlier on that South Melbourne were moving to Sydney? When did you first become aware that you might be playing the game at the highest level in a city that a lot of people had no idea what VFL football was about?
Yeah, look, it was brought to the attention of the players that at the end of 1981 that the VFL wanted South Melbourne to move to Sydney. It split the club in half. Basically, half the players wanted to move, and I was part of that, and half wanted to stay. And it was very, very difficult times. We're sold a bit of a putt by the powers to be at the VFL. I mean, we're told we're going up to the obviously the biggest capital city in Australia. We'd be one out up there, so therefore there'd be 11 teams competing for money and so forth in Melbourne, and we'd be one out in Sydney, and all the riches and the players and everything was going to happen. But unfortunately, we're a team who finished probably, we probably finished about 9th or 10th or 8th or whatever in 1981, and we're sent up there, and we got given nothing really by the VFL. I mean, you look at what's happened with the Gold Coast and GWS these days, and the incentives and the people. But we really had to battle up there. And
the facilities were Scheisenhausen, Reece Jones.
Oh, look, didn't even know where we were training. So we all worked, but we'd have to ring the club at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to find out where we were going to be training that night. So that, you know, it was tough times. But the one thing it did do, it brought that group of players pretty tight together. And I think if people remember back in those early days of the Swans, we didn't have a great team, but we were bloody hard to beat up there anyway.
Tell us how the circumstances that led to you having that nasty break in your leg, and I suppose fate is the thing I'm looking for. That the Carlton Club doctor at the time, who was Carlton, your opposition, made an appointment with the Carlton Club doctor. Tell us about that.
Well, that was with South Melbourne in 1980, and it was my fourth game, and I actually I went to trip over a bloke. The big ruckman Hanson, who played for Fitzroy at the Junction Oval there, and actually he's run through my leg like it was a twig, which it probably looked like to him. But I rolled over a few times, and at the end of the game, South Melbourne didn't have the money for doctors or anything back then, but they had enough for a pair of crutches, so they gave me a pair of crutches, and I was. I remember standing up in the social club there at the Junction Oval, and I was sweating. I was in a bit of pain and everything, and I just had a bandage, loosely sort of wrapped around my knee, and standing there on crutches. And a Fitzroy supporter actually said, "Oh, you don't look too good." And I said, "No, I've got to get going." This Fitzroy supporter actually gave me a lift home to where I lived. I got up. I was supposed to have an appointment with the doctor, Carlton doctor, was Richard Ward at the time, and the next day, and something happened there, and I couldn't have an appointment with him, so I was actually left there for 2 days. I didn't get to see him till the Monday. They thought I'd hurt my knee, because it was actually the top bone, the femur, and it was broken at the bottom of the femur, so
nasty.
Had a crack in it there, so it wasn't a great start, but that was how South Melbourne was back then. It was that, they didn't have the money to afford doctors and that, so they did a bit of sharing with other clubs.
Well, out of the break, we're talking to David. Pardon me, we're talking to David Rees-Jones about his colourful career, but a most successful career. The move to Carlton's coming up, where he became a household name and a premiership player and a Norm Smith medalist. That's pretty good credentials, as far as I'm concerned. But out of the break, Lou Richards was once quoted to say that Reece could be one of the best footballers around if he wasn't trying to be the middleweight boxing champion of Australia. We'll talk about that later on, the great Lou Richards. Goodness me, don't we all owe him a great deal of thanks for starting the entertainment in football. You're listening to This Is Your Football Life, brought to you by Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Dream rises to the top. He is an absolute legend of the game.
You're listening to This Is Your Football Life with Rex Hunt for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Celebrating the footy life and other times of David Rees-Jones. And when the history of the game is written, young Rees will take his rightful place in the history of the game. They were the colourful years. That's what people like Lou Richards and Jack Dyer really thrived on, the characters of the game. And I'm getting towards, the end of my career in broadcasting over such a long period of time. And The only thing that I can say, folks, is I'm disappointed that we're not allowed to get these big characters, you know, the Pluggers and Lee Matthews and Reece Jones, these sort of things. But that was then and this was now. David Reece Jones has joined us right around the globe. And as I said before the break, Reece, Louis thought that you'd be better off down at the Stouse, the House of Stouse at West Melbourne Stadium instead of playing footy.
I remember another one Lou said. He said that kid Reece Jones, he said he goes to the footy, he puts his bag down, he puts his head in the locker and pulls a pumpkin out and puts that on. And he mightn't have been too far wrong sometimes.
How did you go from a slender wingman who could be blown away by a fairy's flatulence to a hard-bodied utility who could match it with the very, very best? And no better example, David Reece-Jones, than your Norm Smith medal. Tough and rugged. You must have had to work very hard on that.
Oh, look, obviously footy has its ups and downs along the way. And I felt I always performed better, the bigger challenges that were put in front of me sort of thing. And obviously on that particular day, you know, I was given the task on Dermot Burton, and Dermot, you know, a great player, a match winner for Hawthorn.
Yeah.
And, my job was to quieten him, and I did my job better, but I got a lot of help from, we had some good guys on the back line back then, and Peter Dean and Stephen Silvani, Tommy Elvin, Ian Aitken was there then. And so, it was a pretty good mix of players, and we combined pretty well.
How much did 12 months earlier on have on you for just putting your head down and your backside up and say, I'm going to, play a lot better, when Gary Ayres won the Norm Smith on you in 1986? Like, I had Robert Walls win one on me in 72, mate, and he still reminds me of it over scones. I said, turn it up, Wallsy. But it does really grate at you, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously, I had a pretty good second semi-final in 86, and when Ayrsy lined up on me in the grand final, I thought, oh, beautiful. I'm pretty happy with that, because it wasn't a position he was comfortable in. But, things didn't turn out the way I or our club expected that day. But I think we're probably a little bit overawed, a lot of us. It was the first final a lot of us had played in. We had Kernahan and Bradley and Motley across from and a few others from the West sort of thing. So it was a new experience for a lot of us, and probably were a little bit overawed on the day. But we worked hard over the summer months, and we were given the opportunity, the next year to get revenge, and we were lucky enough to be able to do that.
How far into grand final week in 87 were you told that the kid, Dermot Brereton, was yours, because he was actually in the peak of his form, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Dermot was a great player over quite a number of years, and they say centre half forwards the hardest position on the ground to play, and if that's the case, then centre half back must be the easiest position to play. So, that was my position for that day, but I found out on the Thursday night, and as we did after training, you'd go into the room and the names and the team would be up on the board. So that was the first I knew of it. And I knew then and there I had a big job to do. But, I had the confidence in the teammates, and I had enough confidence in myself to be able to do it. So I certainly wasn't going to get overawed by that situation.
David Reece-Jones has joined us on This Is Your Football Life, brought to you with the kindest regards of Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives, and thanks for tuning the dial right around this planet, folks. All those years down the track, what now does the Norm Smith medal mean to you when you just glance at it?
Oh, look, I mean, it's a team game we play, and while it's good to have that individual award, I suppose these days, I can get introduced as a Norm Smith medalist, not just that bloody idiot who got reported 25 times sort of thing. So you can hang your hat on a few things that you could play football as well as the other stuff. But it's the premiership is what is the most important thing. Yeah. I mean, that's why we play football. It's why we did the hard yards, over pre-season and trained through the wet and muddy nights and everything. And, that's why you play the game. And if you're not playing to do that with your teammates, then you shouldn't be in the game.
Bobby Skilton said publicly many years ago that you can have all of my Brownlows and there's only a handful of people who can talk about Brownlows in plural, he said, for one premiership. Do you agree with him?
Oh, exactly. It is why you play the game. And if we're a 100-metre sprinter or a high jumper or something and you're going for gold at the Olympics, then you're the individual and you can take all the accolades. But when you're playing a team sport, you have to rely on each other. And there's a lot, you can't do, one person can't win a premiership. You need a lot of the 18 on the ground out there all the time doing the right things and doing it for each other.
Collingwood brag about their rat pack. Well, it'd be a minnow compared to what was at Carlton up there. You played hard off the field and on the field. Do you agree with me that it is essential to have just that little bit of mongrel on the liver, but also to do it with blokes who are your mates and would actually fight for you?
Oh, exactly. I mean, we had a good social life, but I can tell you, when it comes down to whether it be training or match day, the focus then was, and it wouldn't have mattered, if you're out till whatever hour of the morning, the night before, and you had to get to Sunday morning training, well, that was it. And, you had to get there and do the work that needed to be done. So that was part and parcel of footy back in the 80s. It was a great on and off the field, and quite often you'd be out with a group of your teammates, and there'd be a group of Essendon players or Collingwood players, Footscray, whoever, all out there at the same place, enjoying each other's company and having a few beers. And it was all good. It was real good days back then.
That's all it's about. Now, if you go to the tribunal, the code that the players, the ethics comes on, they dob on each other now. You didn't in those days. 42 occasions you went for 25 or 42 charges. 25 times, and the other 17, you were the defendant. Your opponent's got 24 weeks, and you got 22. Did you have photos of someone on that panel?
I can tell you, by the end of the time you go in there that many times, you know how to lie pretty good, to be honest, because I remember, one of the more famous ones was Dennis Banks, and he looked at me before we went in and he said, "What do you think?" I said, "Mate, you're going to get about 8 for this." I said, "I'll do my best for you." But and he only got 3 weeks, so I reckon I've done him a favour anyway. I reckon I've got him an extra 5 games in his career. But I even got Andrew Demetrio off. He got hit me one day. So
fantastic.
There you go. I could upset anyone out on the football field.
Well, it's just been great to chat with you. I've just got a couple of personal things to ask and... you can answer them the way you want to, but our people will want to know because you're a fascinating character. And as I said, you'll take your rightful place in the history of this game when it's written in full. What are you doing these days, David Rees-Jones?
I'm working for a company called MC Labour, and we're a labour in the construction industry, and I go around and find jobs for our candidates and get them out working. So
magnificent.
And that's all going well.
From a selfish point of view, what do you enjoy and what do you do for yourself?
Oh, gee, not much anymore. I've got 5 kids, so...
You obviously had problems with your television, did you?
I've had a couple of marriages, and I've got kids from 30 down to 11, so...
Magnificent.
No, they're all good and all going well, so I've got a little boy who's got a bit of a disability, but he's going okay. And
brings out the character in families, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I reckon actually if you could love any more in a family, you might love a little bit more when you have that. Do you get to the footy often, David?
I do. I go to every Carlton home game. I do a little bit of work for the club and look, I MC one of their, the Blues Coterie, which is one of their good coterie groups there. And so I go to every home game and I do go to a few of the other games as well. And I quite enjoy the footy. And while the Blues haven't been travelling too well there, there's some good signs there at the moment.
You are a star. I didn't mean to embarrass you at all, but the way that people and the like of you people just say yes to this is great. Because the fans just want to know about the stars, and it's been very good of you to give your time to us today, David Rees-Jones.
No worries. Thank you very much, Rex. And I was a bit worried when you said they're sponsored by the Tobin Brothers, but anyway, I didn't know whether I was on my last legs or not, but I'm going strong.
Oh, I'm building up a bit of a rapport with James McLeod and the board out there, and I reckon at a pinch, if we had to, we could get 25% off it, mate.
Hopefully that's a long way down the track.
Great memories, and you were just a joy to watch and broadcast, and thanks again for your time.
Thank you, Rex.
David Rees-Jones.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.